So we're discussing this long sugya from Yiral from Abayz that stretches all the way to Abayz and Abayz, which debates the following issue, which is whether or not Avadim have the status of karka with regards to collecting loans. As we discussed the other day, when a person collects a loan from the person who borrowed from him, of course he could collect everything that he has. Afilum in glima dal kasfei, even the shirt that's on his back, you have to give him with some undershirt taste it says to wear. But I could literally take everything else, you know, other than what's on his back. I could take almost any of all of his possessions, that which is metaltel and that which is karka, in order to repay the debt. But if he had properties, which he sold to a third party, so then I can collect only that which is real estate. I cannot collect metaltel. And so if, for example, he sold a dresser after he took out the loan, the dresser, there's no lien on the dresser. I cannot collect the dresser, the bank, the creditor cannot collect the dresser in order to pay back the loan. If it was karka, though, if it was real estate, so then the bank, there is a lien on the karka, and the bank or the creditor can take it from the third party who he sold it to, as long as he sold it after the loan, you know, the loan was issued. So once the loan is issued, there's a lien that's placed on all of his real estate. And even if he subsequently sells it, the creditor of the bank can seize those properties. Not metaltelin. So what should be the status of avodim? The person has an eved at the time that he takes out a loan. Subsequently, he sells the eved to a third party. Can the bank or the creditor collect the eved in lieu of payment for the loan? So if we treat the eved as metaltelin, there's no lien, just like there's no lien on the dresser which you had and you sold, so no lien on the eved either. If we treat the eved as karka, as real estate, so just like there's a lien on real estate, there should be a lien on the avadim. And there was a dispute between Ula and Rav Nachman that takes up this whole blot of Gemara. Do our avadim hukshula karkos, or avadim not hukshula karkos? So the Gemara links this issue with regards to two other halachas. One with regards to a prizbol, that a prizbol, of course, is the idea that Shemitah, not only is one not allowed to work the land during the Shnasa Shemitah, but there's also Shemitah Sksafim. Shemitah annuls and forgives all loans. But if Hillel Hazakin was Masakin Midrabanan, that if a person has, if the borrower has a property, so we can view the loan as if it's been paid. And as long as he then assigns the loan to Beis Din, it's as if Beis Din is the one who's collecting it. The first loan was paid, you know, because of the karka that he has, the real estate that he has. And then he assigns the loan to Beis Din, and Beis Din collects it, which really functions based on Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. But it can only work if the lova has karka. If the lova doesn't have karka, so then you can't write a prizbol. So the Gemara has a machlekes. Should avadim be considered karka that could write a prizbol? When a lova has no real estate, but at least he has avadim, so can we make a prizbol for such a loan? Or can we not make a prizbol for such a loan? And the third halacha that the Gemara relates this machlokas to is with regards to kinyanim. There's a kinyan agav. Kinyan agav means when a person is kona karka, he could be kona metaltelin tangentially. Meaning if I sell you a piece of property, and I also want to sell you metaltelin, I want to sell you furniture or other movables. So once you make a kinyan on the karka, so then even if the movables are not on that land, certainly if they're on that land, but even if they're not on that land, that you could be subsequently kona them with a kinyan chatzer, because now you own the karka, you could be kona the properties without any action on your part by kinyan chatzer. Even if they're not there, they're somewhere else, you could be kona them metaltelin tangentially together with the karka. Agav karka, known as kinyan agav. So you make a kinyan on the karka, you are agav that, you're kona the metaltelin wherever they may be. Even though they might be somewhere else in the world, where it's too hard to make a kinyan formally in the metaltelin. Yeah.
When we're talking about the lien.
Yeah.
So can we say that eved is metaltelin and the chiddush of the gemara is that even though it's metaltelin, we can make a lien on it?
The question is, since he obviously is not, you know, it's to consider an eved karka. It's difficult because he moves around as opposed to karka that doesn't move around. That's exactly the distinction the Gemara draws. Maybe it should be kakarka, maybe it shouldn't be kakarka. So some Rav Nachman, Ula held he has the status of karka and there's a lien on the eved. Rav Nachman said, no, he moves around. How could he? He's movables.
So if Nachman holds, there's no lien.
Yeah, no lien, exactly. And if he sells, if the borrower sells the eved, the bank can't collect him, just like he can't collect the dresser that I sell or a notebook that I sell. There's no lien. There's only a lien on real estate. Anyway, so the third issue the Gemara links this to is with regards to Kinyan Agav. When I sell an Eved, can I sell Metaltolin? Can I sell other movables tangentially together with the Eved? When I sell Karka, so that's such a significant sale, I can sell Metaltolin tangentially, Agav, tangentially to the Karka. I can't sell a chair tangentially to a stender. They're both, neither one is significant enough that they could support a tangential kinyan. What about when I sell avadim? So if avadim have the status of real estate, when I sell an eved, I could sell a chair, I could sell stenders tangentially, agav, the stender, or I'm sorry, the eved. But if avadim are not considered to be like karka, there's no lien on avadim, and avadim do not satisfy the requirement for a prusbol because you can't consider it as if it's been paid. Avadim are not the same as real estate, so then I cannot make a tangential kinyan agav avadim. Those are the three disputes that our Gemara has over here, all which the Gemara seems to assume are somewhat, not entirely, somewhat related to one another, and we compared the two, and we compared and contrasted it. Yeah.
Another question, if she were caused to the arrest or not, what nachmin does that make an hour?
Very little.
It doesn't make a difference.
Shibuta Dei Raisa, Shibuta Dei Rabanan makes almost no difference.
Okay.
We discussed, when we first brought up the issue last semester, we discussed a few nafkaminas that might exist, but you have to search for them. Either way, Shibuta Dei Raisa, Shibuta Dei Rabanan. Whether or not there's a lien on properties, is a Din Midei Raisa, or is only a Din Midei Rabanan. Very, very few nafkaminas. So the problem that Tosis raised, though, on Yudbeis Med Aleph, Dir Maschel Ano, was that we have, we saw them last time, a Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia, a Gemara Maseches Shavuos, that Avadim are Hukshu L'Karkos, at least with regards to Shavua and Ona. Just like with regards to Karka, even if you overcharge significantly for a piece of real estate, you never have to return the Ona. Surely it's prohibited to overcharge for real estate, but you don't have to return the amount that you overcharged. As opposed to if I overcharge for a Kit Kat or for a soda or for a cup of coffee, then I do have to return that which I overcharge for more than a sixth. When it comes to properties, I don't have to return the amount that I overcharge. So the Gemara says the same is true with regards to Avadim. Avadim are Hukshu L'Karkos. Or similarly, if a person has a Shvua with regards to Karka, you say, I owe you 10 properties. I say, no, I don't owe you, I only owe you 5 properties. I agree, 5 I owe you, but another 5 I don't. I'm molded by mixas. So then you have to take a shvua d'oraisa, generally speaking. If it would be metaltlin, you say you owe me 10 stenders. I say, I only owe you 5. I concede somewhat. So I have to take a shvua d'oraisa. With regards to karka, there's no shvua, ein ishbon al karkos. And the Gemara says the same is true with regards to avadim. And the Gemara darshens it from a pasuk. That if you say, I owe you 10 avadim, I said, I only owe you 5 avadim, I might have been, if I say, I don't owe you anything, there's no shvua. But if I say, I owe you 5, you're right. The other 5, I disagree, might have been mixed, you have to take a shvua there, right? So that does not apply to avadim. Avadim ahok shvua karkos. So Tysus jumps up and down. How could it be our whole Gemara is having this dispute back and forth with regards to liens on avadim, with regards to avadim for Prusbul, with regards to avadim for Ginyan Agav? Does it have the status of real estate? The Gemara says explicitly in Shavuos and Bava Metzia with regards to Shavuos, with regards to Ona, that Avadim have the status of real estate. And just like there's no Shavuos, there's no Ona on Karka, there's no Shavuos, there's no Ona, I don't have to return the Ona payment, you can't take a Shavuos with regards to Avadim. And in fact, the Gemara says over here, Maseches Megillah, Chav Gimel, Med Aleph, Eved is Kishul Karkos. An Eved is comparable to Karka, just like your Kone, Karka with a Kinyan Chazaka, your Kone and Eved with a Kinyan Chazaka, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, just like a person who has properties passes that on to his children after he passes away as part of his inheritance, his estate, so too the avadim are like a sedeh achuza. It's like an ancestral property that it goes birusha to one's descendants. And that pasuk is talking about an eved kenani because the pasuk continues la'olam bahem tavodu. Yeah? That pasuk is talking about avadim. Parshas Bahar. Oh! So you see, they are kikarka. So how could our Gemara have this whole dispute? So if you remember, Taisus distinguished between dinim d'oraisa and dinim d'rabbanan. Shvua, and I know that's a din d'oraisa, so they are avadim hukshu l'karkos. Every din that's mentioned in our Gemara leans on property, collecting, from a third party. A bank can collect from properties that you sold. And writing a prusbol, which was the takana of Hillel HaZaken. And Kinyan Agav are all dinim d'rabbanan. With regards to Dinim Durabanan, we have a dispute of Avadim Hukshu L'Karkos or not. That Gemara in Shavuot, that Gemara in Bava Metzia about Onah, or this Gemara with regards to Kinyonim, that's with regards to Dinim Dairaisa of Avadim Hukshu L'Karkos. That for sure. The Shaila is, what about with regards to Dinim Durabanan? However, the Rashba asks that that only works if you assume that liens on properties collected from a third party is a din de Rabbanan, which was a shibud de Rabbanan. But if the fact that a bank could collect from properties that I sold is a din mi deiraisa, shibud deiraisa, so then we have a problem. Our Gemara is discussing a din mi deiraisa. Nonetheless, we're having a dispute whether avadim hukshu l'karkos, avadim not hukshu l'karkos, but it's a Gemara elsewhere that it's explicit. Of course, avadim hukshu l'karkos. That was where we left off last time. And we saw, at the very end of the last year, the Rashbam in Bava Basra, the Nemuka Yosef here in Bava Kama, all distinguish between different types of halachas. With regards to Einah, with regards to Shvua, with regards to Kinyan Chazaka, that depends on real estate versus movables, or real property versus real estate. So real estate, with regards to halachas that depend on real estate, avadim are hukshu l'karkos. Avadim also considered to be real estate. Even though, of course, it moves, but it's considered to be real estate. That's the Xeris HaKosov. Avadim hukshu l'karkos. You make a kinyan chazak on real estate, kinyan chazak on avadim. However, these halachas, in our Gemara, kinyan agav, collecting, a bank collecting from a third party, that there's a lien on karka, no lien on movables, that has nothing to do with real estate versus metalton. That has nothing to do, it's a different definition. Yes, the same language is used, karka versus metalton, but here it means something else. They're all dinim deraisa, perhaps. In principle, of course, is not. But liens on properties could be a din deraisa. Nonetheless, perhaps avodim are not hukshu l'karkos, because here it depends, the Rishonim explained, based on what the Baal Chov had in mind when he issued the loan. What does he intend on collecting his loan from? He intends on collecting his loan from real estate. You know why that's the focus? You try and go into a bank and make collateral on a loan, a shtender, or a piece of furniture. They're never going to give you a loan, or even a diamond. Why not? Unless its location is locked down somewhere in a museum. Why not? Because you could take it and hide it and say it's lost, and they're going to lose their money. Real estate doesn't go anywhere. They know, everybody knows exactly where it is, and you can trust in that. So therefore, when a Baal Chov issues a loan, there's a lien on real estate and not on movables, because he knows it's going to be there tomorrow. Similarly, when I make a kinyan, agav, tangentially to real estate, that's because people know, I'm being kind of real estate, I'm making a real kinyan, because I know where it is, I could be kind of something else tangentially. But movables don't have that same kind of smichus das. They don't have that same kind of reliability, because today it's here 1 minute, gone tomorrow. See, even if avodim have the status of real estate, they perhaps go be Arusha like real estate, as a kinyan like real estate. There's no onah, there's no shvua like real estate. It's exeris akos of avodim hukshu l'karkos that has nothing to do with smichos das. When a person issues a loan, what are they trusting in? They're trusting in the real estate. But that's not because it's real estate. It's not because it's karka. It's because I know where it is. It doesn't go anywhere. But avodim are movable. Well, so it's here 1 minute, gone tomorrow. So that's the shaila of our Gemara. Of course, avadim hukshu l'karkos, but is there smichus das in avadim? Do I say when the guy issued the loan, he had a mind he was going to collect his loan from avadim? When a person makes a kinyan on an eved, it's such a significant kinyan, he has so much smichus das because he knows it's such a significant item that I could shtup things in tangentially. I can make a kinyan agav on metalton tangentially or not. That all depends on smichus das. With a prisbo, so we can consider the loan as collected because there's real estate here. Because it doesn't go anywhere. It's reliable. Oh, but not the same with regards to avodim. So that's the shaila of Agamara, avodim hukshu l'karkos, with these halachas that depend on smichus das. Yeah.
So just to clarify, the idea of calling an eved metaltelin is only on the tzad that the person doesn't have smichus das.
Correct. Formally, it's in real estate. But what we see from here is a big yesod. And that is that karka doesn't mean the same thing every time we use it. Sometimes it might refer to real estate. Sometimes it might refer to things that don't move and are reliable assets, which avodim might or might not fit into that category. That's what we're debating here. Of course, formally it's real estate. But with regards when halachas that are defined by reliable assets, avodim might not fit in. So this yesod was developed by Ramesh Soloveitchik It was appeared in a journal called Masera Journal. It was published by the OU. Many of the early volumes were written by Rabbi Schechter. If you just know his style, you can... And I've heard him say most of it, you know, heard him say it. He says it exactly the way that it's printed, you know, Kedarka B'Kodesh, in the Masera Journal. So you know that he wrote them until about volume 8 or 9 were written by Rabbi Schechter. After that, they're written by others. But at least in volume 8 over here, which I presume is of Schechter, I've heard it from him, same formulation. So I quote over here from Rav Soloveitchik, the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Shnei Musagim Nefradim Hema. These are two separate topics. Hamusik shall karka benigulum metaltlin, karka real estate versus movables, Hamusik shall nechasim sheyeshla machrayas, benigulum nechasim sheyeshla machrayas. Nechasim sheyeshla machrayas means it's reliable. I always know where it is. If it's missing, I'll know where to track it down. Vichy amrina davadam hukshu the karkos, hanudavke hechad adin hanohuk bekarka, toli bamash sheyeshla of shame karka. Yes, avadam hukshu the karkos, it has to do with real estate. Okay, avadam are real estate. Oh no, shavua. Kinyan chazaka, fine, but not the abda avadim nidonim kilu yeshlam shame karka. They're considered real estate limros mashav emetzius metaltum hem, even though they are movables. Avahecha shadin hanohu bekarka mivnei shehem nechasim shehem shelam achrayis. When it doesn't depend on real estate versus movables, but on reliable assets. Vishem ipnei kein hamalva batuachu bekvias chovo. The lender is assured that he's going to collect his loan. Musig ze einenu over la avodim. That does not get passed to avodim. Mikoach hahekish. And perhaps there's another place where we see this distinction. Look over here. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara is quoting from a Mishnah Masechta Shvuos, which we saw yesterday at the beginning of it, where the Mishnah says there's no shvu on karka, there's no shvu on avodim. So the Gemara there quotes a machlok sin Rameir and the Chachamim about grapes that are ready to be picked. I say, right, there's no shvu on karka. So if I say, you owe me 10 fields, you say, if you deny the whole thing, there's no shvu. That's called kofar akol. But you're moed b'miksas. You admit to part of the obligation, but you dispute the other half. So there's a shvu, there's no shvu. There would be a shvu if it would be metaltal, not on karka. What about if we dispute grapes that are about to be picked? Anavim ha'oimdim libatzer. I say you owe me 10 trees of grapes. You say you owe me only 5. Right now it's attached to the tree, but it's made to be picked. Is that like metaltolin, that there could be a shvua because it is made to be picked? Or is that like karka because right now it's attached to the ground? So look over here at this nun, Ramey or Omer. Yesh dvarm shein kekarka ve'en in kekarka. There are some things that are like karka, but not entirely like karka. Ve'en chachamim modemo. Ketzav, what's the case? Eser gefonim to unois. A guy says, I gave you 10 trees that had grapes on them. You only gave me 5. Your ma'ida b'miksas. Remeir mechayev. Remeir holds, you have to take a shvua. And the Gemara explains, because he holds, anavim ha'aimdim li batzer kibitzuris damyun. It's as if they've already been picked. And therefore it's like metalta. Right now it's attached to the ground. How can you consider that metaltolin? And just like there's no shvu on karka, there's no shvu on grapes that are currently attached to the ground, no matter that they're omed to be picked. Okay? Machlek is between Rameir and the Chachamim. Are anavim ha'endim libatze kibitzuras damyan or lav kibitzuras damyan? Right now it's attached to the ground, but it's only made to be picked. Remeir holds it's like metaltolin, Chamim holds it's like karka. But says Tosfos, look over here, Tosfos asks in the opinion of Remeir, Tema. The Beperek Naira Hamurasa, that's the Mesechtes Ksubis. And Daphnir Alma Beis, Parech Gabizil Havle Mitamre Dalbodye. The Gemara there is discussing a Balchov collecting his loan from properties that were sold. So again, I lend someone money, he has to pay back the loan with whatever he has, metaltolin or karka. But if he sells it to a third party, there's only a lien on karka, not a metaltolin. Is there a lien on these grapes that are navim ha'omdim libatzer, or dates that are omdim libatzer? So the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara says, there is a lien. Havli mitamri dalbodye, sof sof ko ome ligzos kegazes dami detzrichel edikra kamina, it still needs the tree. I'm sorry, yeah. So I'm sorry. So the Gemara says if it still needs the tree. I'm sorry. I said it backwards. If the Gemara says if it still needs the tree, meaning it's still growing on the tree, needs it for nutrients, then the Baal Chov can collect it. If it no longer needs the nutrients, it's about to be picked, and it just happens to, you know, coincidentally still be attached to the tree. No one got around to picking it off. Then the Gemara says, I'm sorry, the Baal Chov does not collect it. Even though it's all made to be picked, the Baal Chov, I'm sorry, because it's all made to be picked, it's considered as if it's metaltalin, and there's no lien on it. There's a lien on properties, not on the fruits that no longer need the tree that just happened to, you know, we haven't gotten around to picking them yet. So my parak says Tosfos, how could the Gemara just assume that items that are only made to be picked, there's no lien? According to the Rabbanan, even though it's about to be picked, it's not considered to be metaltalin. And just like there's no shvu on karka, there's no shvu on anavim ha'idim libatzer. So if it has the status of karka vis-a-vis shvua, why shouldn't there be a lien on it, and the Baal Chov could collect it even if it no longer needs the tree? We just haven't gotten around to picking it yet. The Baal Chov should be allowed to collect it. There should be a lien on it, even though you sold it to another party. The Gemara says you can only collect it, there's only a lien on it if it still needs a tree. If it no longer needs the tree, it's called Ome Ligzos Kigozos Dummy. It's as if it's already been cut off. Already cut off. Baal Chov can't collect it. There's no lien on it. What are you talking about? The Rabbanan say by Shvua. The call Anavim Ha'emdim Libatze Lav Kibitzuriz Damyon. And just like there's no Shvua on Karka, there's no Shvua on grapes that are only made to be picked even though it no longer needs the tree. So says Tosis V'yeshlomer, the Gabi Baal Chov Mode. Says Tosfos, there's a difference here. With regards to Shavua, it depends what's real estate and what's metaltalin. And what's, you know, real property, but movables. These grapes are attached to the tree. It's still real estate. It's real estate. It's attached to the tree. Doesn't matter that it doesn't need the tree anymore. It's still attached to the tree. But if you were taking out a loan, yeah, you were giving a loan, you would never be someich on these grapes, because they're about to be picked. So you're not going to rely on that it'll be around when you come to collect your loan. So there's no smichus das. What am I relying on? I'm relying on the real estate. It doesn't go anywhere. I'm not going to rely on grapes that are only made to be picked, that I'm going to be able to collect my loan from them. So even though the Chacham, Rebbeinu disagrees, but even though according to the Chachamim, with regards to Shvu, Anavim, Oim, Delibotzer, Lav, Kibitzuriz, Damyan, with regards to Gvias Baal Chov, we can consider it. Whatever is about to be chopped off, it's as if it's already chopped off, because you're never soimech das. You don't rely on that asset to collect your loan. Yeah.
How does this only works if you're taking a loan you're giving out a loan, or you're expecting to collect a loan
of course.
In like a few day period.
No.
Yeah. When you gave out the loan.
It's so not those, these grapes, there'll be other grapes.
No, but
let's say it was like that.
No, so but then you did have your das on the grapes.
No, I didn't, because I know you could
but
take them and hide them.
They're not on
the list. Or they'll fall down and they won't be there tomorrow. You'd be a fool. If you would lend money, a person to lend money based on something could be easily picked and taken away, you'd be foolish to do that.
But we're making a chiluk between Oymid Ligzois and not Oymid Ligzois.
No, we're saying if it's... correct. You're saying if it's not Oymid Ligzois...
We're saying if it's not Oymid Ligzois, so then it's
Kakarka. It is Kakarka, yes. Ah, you're saying why even there is a Kakarka?
The guy can take it off of the tree the same way.
It's true.
Why should Smichas...
It's true. Good point.
Why would Smichas on the bus?
Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, I hear you. Yeah.
The guy just takes it off, and you lose it out also on his grave.
Correct. So that's why earlier he'll lose. He wouldn't do that. Why would he be mafse nafshe? Here he won't lose. He'll stash the grapes in Cayman Islands somewhere. He won't lose. Okay. So Tosfos draws that same distinction again. Baal Chov depends on smichus das. Anavim ha'emdim libotzer. No one has smichus das. They're going to be chopped off soon. Why would you rely on that to collect your loan? But with regards to shvur, with regards to no, and even anavim ha'emdim libotzer, according to the chachamim, have the status of karka. And there's no shvu on karka, there's no shvu on anavim ha'emdim libatzel. Lamaisa is, they're attached to the ground. They could still be considered real estate. Tosfos and Bava Metzia makes a third distinction. We've only distinguished between two categories. But perhaps there's even, once we're going to say there's, you know, karka doesn't mean the same thing everywhere, perhaps there's not only one distinction between Baal Chov And Kinyan Agav, which depend on Smichus Das, from reliable assets, versus Karka, you know, with regards to Shvu and Onah, that depends on real estate. Once we're going to say that Karka doesn't mean the same thing everywhere, maybe there's even more than two definitions. Yeah.
Is a hint of the fact that there's like more than one definition, the fact that it uses the name Nechasim Sheish on the
house. That's a pretty good hint, yeah. But sometimes things are more confusing.
Kenyans, it uses, doesn't even say Karka.
Right, it says Nechasim Sheish on the house.
We assume it's identical.
Right. Balchov, we use the language of Karka, though. Yeah. Versus Metalton. Yeah, sometimes it gets confusing, though. So look over here. Tizus makes the point about Metzia. Even if we're going to say, even according to a mayor, what was a mayor's position? That Anavim ha'omdim li batzer kibitzuros damyan. Not only can a balchov not, there's no lien on grapes that are about to be picked, but there is shvua and there is onah. It's not even real estate. The Chachamim held it's real estate. Rameir holds it's not even real estate. And about, certainly not Karka with regards to Balchov, that everyone agrees. There's no Smichus Das, it's not a reliable asset. But he holds, no, since it's about to be cut off, it's not real estate either. And even though there's no Shvu on Karka, there is a Shvu in another Mahamdim Li Batzer, because Lamais, it's going to be cut off. That was the opinion of Reb Meir. What would you say about Shabbos? I have apples that are about to fall off the tree. Can I pick it off anyway, Lamaisa? According to Reb Meir, Anavim ha'omdim li batzer kibitzuras damyan. You can take a shvua on grapes that are hanging on a tree that are about to be picked. It's no longer real estate. And a balchov, there's no lien on grapes. It's not a reliable asset. It's not treated as karka. There's a lien on karka. There's no lien on metalto, and the grapes are treated like metalto. Would you say that? Therefore, kol ha'omed ligzos kigazes dami, Anavim ha'omdim li batzer kibitzuras dami. Would you say that grapes that are only to be picked, I could pick them off the vine on Shabbos, apples I could pick off a tree on Shabbos? It says, what? Chas v'shalom. V'yafo gav de pligi hachle inyan Shabbos, moidu kuli alma, delav kibitzuras dami. What? Regards to Shabbos, certainly not. Shabbos is something else entirely. Shabbos depends on a different definition. Shabbos depends on Mechuba lekarka versus not mechuba lekarka, growing from the ground, attached to the ground and not attached to the ground. So this lamaisa is attached to the ground, even if it's not real estate, even if it's not a reliable asset, but it is attached to the ground. Shabbos depends on detaching something from the ground. Lamaisa is, it's still attached. Different definition. By Shabbos, it's mechuba lekarka versus ena mechuba lekarka. So we say karka versus metalton, but it's a different definition over here. Yeah.
I know there's a thing with mushrooms.
Yeah.
We don't make
mushrooms don't.
It,
yeah.
But at Lamaisa, you're not allowed to be toilet shit.
Because mechuba lekarka.
So is it karka?
Mushrooms don't grow from the ground, right? They don't draw nutrients.
Yeah.
They draw from the air. Yeah.
Similar
distinction. Well, what do you say about this? Look over here. The Gemara says Masechta Shabbos, to your point, maybe exactly. The Gemara says Masechta Shabbos. Look over here, Oisches. Hayamuna chagabi, karkave ni chagabi yesedos. If a person has a pot, a potted plant, that's a perforated pot. Yeah? Anyone need a sheet? No. Perforated pot. So the, and it's sitting on the ground. Let's say I have a pot with something growing in it, and it's sitting on the ground in a perforated pot. So Gemara assumes that that's considered to be attached to the ground, and if I pick it up and put it on top of a stand like this, so the bottom is still over the ground, the Gemara assumes that that's considered to be toilesh. You violated koitzer on Shabbos. One of the lamentas of the malachas of cutting something off a tree, picking something off a tree. I took the pot, I picked it up and put it on Gabi Yesedos. And says the Rambam, a person who does that, is chayv midoraisa, picks it up off the ground, puts it al gabi. You say this is chayav midaraisa. Look at the Rambam parakhez of Shabbos lochadal gav shusha shal afar shalu ba'asavim. I have a clump of dirt that has weeds growing in it. Hamagbia me'al ha'aretz venicha gabi. You say those chayav mishum toilesh. He picked it up and put it on top of a pedestal where the bottom is still exposed to the ground. He's chayav for toilesh. Before it was attached to the ground. Now it's no longer attached to the ground. Yeah. Fine. Poshut. That's the definition of kaitzer. Detaching something from the ground. Before it was attached, now it's detached. Oh. Book over here in Hilchos Trumas. The Rambam writes Parak Aleph of Hilchos Trumas. Look at Halacha Chav Hei. Look in the middle of the second line. Atzitz Nakuv. What's that? A perforated pot. V'hayikar ba'aretz. The base of the tree, or the base of the plant, is in Eretz Israel. V'noifai chutz la'aretz. And its branches are sticking into chutz la'aretz. Yeah? And there's fruit growing on those branches. Rabbi said, what would you say? Those branches, trumas and maestras? No, trumas and maestras. Isser shvius? No, isser shvius. What's the story with these things? It's the trees in Eretz Israel, the branches, noifai, is sticking into chutz la'aretz. What's the status of the fruits that's growing over there? Is that grow? Is that Paris chutz la'aretz or Paris Eretz Israel? Says the Rambam. Hochem achar anof. We follow the branches. So the peros are considered to be peros chutz la'aretz, no truma and maaser. Why? So the answer is, the Rishonim explain, this is in Hilchos Shabbos too, even when something is above the ground, when you pick a pot up off the ground, at the bottom is exposed to the ground below, Chazal were under the impression that nutrients go through the air and reach the pot. If I had to explain it, I would say that it's because there are gases that are emitted from the ground that help the plant grow, that perhaps, I wouldn't have said on my own, but perhaps help, you know, can come from the ground and continue to aid the growth of the plant. So when you have, that was Chazal interpreted, if you have an open pot, not if you have a metal plate underneath it, but an utz, it's not of a perforated pot, even if it's above the ground, there are nutrients that are going to the plant. Oh, so if I have a plant over chutz la'aretz, even if the ikar, the roots of the plant, the trunk of the tree is in Eretz Yisrael, if the plant is growing over chutz la'aretz, it is deriving nutrients, it is yoinek, from the land in chutz la'aretz. So it's peres chutz la'aretz. Oh, 1 minute, but now we have a kasha. So then how come when I pick my plant up off the ground over here and I put it on top of a pedestal, the Rambam told me, Yochai Mishum Kaitzer, I detach from it, it's still drawing nutrients from the ground. Even if it's above the ground, as long as it's exposed to the air above the ground, it's still drawing nutrients from the ground. They got no gases or something. It's being emitted from the ground and it's aiding the growth of the plant. So it's still attached to the ground. It's still drawing nutrients from the ground. Why am I chayvin? Hilchos Shabbos. Oh, you hear the kasha, chevra? So again, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, whoa, because here the things mean different. We have different definitions. What's a different definition? With regards to Shabbos, it depends on mechuba l'karka versus tolush min hakarka. This pot that you pick up off the ground is tolush min hakarka. That's what Hilchos Shabbos depends upon. Even if it's no longer drawing nutrients, you have a navim ha'omdim libatzer, grapes that are about to be trimmed from the tree. It's no longer drawing nutrients from the tree. Doesn't matter. It's still mechuba l'karka, and if you detach it from the tree, Tosfos told us, you'll be chayv in Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos depends on mechuba l'karka versus tolush min hakarka, not enjoying nutrients. Hilchos Trumas and Maaseres, that depends on something else. That depends on yoinek min hakarka versus not yoinek min hakarka. Where is it drawing its nutrients? From Eretz Yisrael, from chutz la'aretz. And if it's drawing its nutrients from chutz la'aretz, that's Paris chutz la'aretz, not Paris Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter where it's attached. It's attached to the ground in Eretz Yisrael. But it's a different definition than Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos, the definition of karka is what's attached literally to the ground. Not real estate, not reliable assets, but what's attached to the ground. Hilchos Trumas HaMaisos depends on where is it drawing nutrients. And if it's drawing nutrients, that's considered to be Peres Chutz La'aretz and not Peres Eretz Yisrael, if its nutrients are coming from Chutz La'aretz and not from Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Soloveitchik said again over here, it's a different definition we've been dealing with until now. Yeah.
The pshat over there said it's getting more nutrients from where it's hanging off of than where it's...
I guess so.
Because then you could ask it, I wanted to ask...
It's also drawing nutrients from the tree.
But you see from this that the Peres are not karka.
What do you mean when you say karka? What I'm telling you is that itself is an elusive term and doesn't mean the same thing every... It certainly is real estate. There's no shvua on it. If you detach it in Hilchos Shabbos, you'd certainly be chayiv. But if it's not, you know, if it's not drawing nutrients from the ground, maybe it's not chayiv, you know, maybe, or drawing nutrients from here, not nutrients from there. Maybe it's not chayiv in Trumas HaMaaseres. That's exactly what we're saying. So it's your mushrooms is attached to the ground, might be mechuba l'karka. But if it's not drawing nutrients from the ground, might be not chayiv. I don't know anything about mushrooms and chumas and maestros, but one could entertain the possibility it's not chayiv and chumas and maestros. Chumas and maestros depend on nutrients from the ground. Hilchos Shabbos doesn't depend on that. It depends on attached to the ground versus detached. And it has nothing to do with the karka and metalton of onah and shvuah, which is real estate versus movables. It has nothing to do with nechasim sheyesh lamachrayis and nechasim sheyem lamachrayis, reliable assets vis-a-vis, liens on properties and kinyan agav. Each one of these has a different definition. So Moshe Soloveitcher continued with this shir klali and made two other distinctions. Fascinating. Where he demonstrated that karka doesn't mean the same thing in every context. So look over here. The Rambam writes in Perek Hey of Hilchos Mi'ila Halacha Hey. All of this is found in this Masorah journal, page 56 to page 59. But look over here. The Rambam says in Perek Hey of Hilchos Mi'ila Halacha Hey. Give it to you over here. Ois Hey. Ein Mi'ila Ela B'Talish Min HaKarka. Mi'ila, meaning if you have an item that belongs to Hekdesh and you use it inappropriately for your own uses, you violated Mi'ila. Ein Mi'ila Ela B'Talish Min HaKarka. Mi'ila can only apply, and there are certain consequences. You have to bring a carbon Mi'ila, you have to pay back a Karen B'Chaimish, okay. But it only applies to that which is detached from the ground. Aval Hanene B'Karka Atzma B'Mechuber Lo Mo'al. With regard to that which is attached to the ground, there's no Mi'ila. Cain, Hamakdish Bais Banoi Hadar Bo Lo Mo'al. Let's say a person donates a house to Hekdesh. I live illegitimately in that house. There's no mi'ila. A house is considered to be karka vis-a-vis Hilchos Mi'ila. It's karka. A house that's built into the ground, we understand why. Real estate means not just, undeveloped land. It means, properties as well that are built on top of the land. Real estate. When Jews go into real estate, they don't go into undeveloped properties only. Developed properties too. It's real estate. Says the Rambam Perek Ches of Hilchos Avodah Zarah Lo Chadalado. If you bow down to something, it becomes Asur Ba'anah. A person, let's say, worships the shtender, it would become Asur Ba'anah. If I worship, squirrels, it would be Asur Ba'anah. If I worship garbage cans, it would be Asur Ba'anah. Whatever you worship, as an Avodah Zarah, becomes Asur Ba'anah. What if I worship mountains? You worship something that is the ground itself. No, then the ground doesn't become Asur Ba'anah. That's what the Rambam writes. Let's see. Over here, anything I can't pick up in my hand. And it wasn't man-made. Even though it was worshipped, it's mutabana. You have an Ovi Kochavim who worships a tree, worships a bika, worships a valley, worships a mountain. But from here, it sounds like anything that's attached to the ground cannot be makabo nisa'ano. But look at the Ram Parachet, folks, of a desire locha Dawid. Ram says the following. Bayis shabonoi ha'ovdi kochavim mitchigo shiyah ha'bayis atzmo nevad. Person who builds a house, having a mind to worship it. Even I didn't build a house in order to worship it. I worship a built house. People, right? Worship their houses. Hareza Asabana. It is Asabana. What? So what is the status of a house? Is it real estate or is it not real estate? Says the Rambam, it is not real estate with regards to Halacha of Avodah Zarah. If I worship real estate, it doesn't become Asabana. If I worship a house, it does. Real estate refers to man, a non-man-made item. A mountain, a valley. A tree that happened to be there. That's real estate. A house that's built on top of the ground, no, that's not real estate. But in Hilchos Me'ila, the Rambam just told us a house is real estate. That if you live in a house that belongs to Hekdesh, there's no Me'ila. Just like if I use ground, I use karka that belongs to Hekdesh, there's no Me'ila. There's only Me'ila on movables, not on real estate. So which is it? So again, Rav Moshe Soloveitcher says we have to distinguish over here. The halachas of Me'ila depend on what is real estate versus what is metalton, perhaps similar to shvuah, perhaps similar to onah, overcharging and taking a shvuah, and similar to kinyan chazaka. Halach of Me'ila depends on real estate versus movables. Houses are real estate, as we well know, right? Yeah. House is real estate. So, just like there's no Me'ila on undeveloped land, there's no Me'ila on houses either. The halacha, that ground is excluded from the Iser of Avodah Zarah, that it's anything that I worship becomes also by Noah, that has nothing to do with real estate of a Talitlin, says Rabbi Shlomo Isaac. That depends on what is Yesh Bo Tfisas Yad Adam versus what is Ein Bo Tfisas Yad Adam. Something that I once held in my hand versus something I can't hold in my hand. You can't hold a mountain in your hand, but you can hold pieces of a house as you're building it in your hand. So it was once Yesh Bo Tfisas Yad Adam. That's what the halacha of Avodah Zarah depends upon, and that's why the Rambam uses a different language. Kol She'ein Bo Tfisas Yad Adam. What it depends upon is not karka metallica, not real estate or movables, not even reliable assets versus not reliable assets, or you know, what's attached to the ground, not attached to the ground. What is yoinik min hakarka, what's not yoinik min hakarka? Truma semaisis, it depends on what is Yesh Bot Fisis Yad Adam or Ein Bot Fisis Yad Adam? And since a person once held this in his hand, even though it was later attached to the ground, cannot become Osa Ba'anah. Yeah.
The only reason why the house is something that you hold in your hand is because you built it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but what my sin is Yesh Bot Fisis Yad Adam. One final category, and before we get to a tangential point to the whole sugya, but one final category over here, is look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, over here, Oysi Ra'ov, is quoting from a Mishnah, Misaf Teschulun on Daf Tezvav. The Mishnah says, a person who chefs with mechuber lekarka o leguf, the shechita is no good. The Mishnah says, really, the language of the Mishnah is, ha-shechep mechuber is puzzle. You need a knife that's not attached. If I told you, you need a knife that's not attached, what would you say? A knife that's not attached to the ground. However, the Mishnah is also referring to if I have, let's say there was some Chassidish Shemayim like this who used to sharpen their nail to a degree that they were able to perform part of the Mila with their nail. I've seen such a thing. Because we do Mila in one stage. The reason why a baby cries when they open, you know, when the Mayel starts munching the baby over there, they always tell you, they tell the mother, the baby's crying. Why is the baby crying? Because it's cold. That's not why the baby's crying. The baby's crying, even though they haven't begun the mila yet, is because underneath the Ar Ha'arla, the foreskin, there's an Ar Ha'priya. There's a membrane which is attached to the body underneath the Ar Ha'arla. So that's the second part of the mitzvah mila, which is to remove the Ar Ha'arla and then to remove the Ar Ha'priya. In the olden days, they would remove the Ar Ha'arla and then pull back the Ar Ha'priya. And that was the way the Chassidim continued to do Mila. We don't do, in our communities, we generally don't do Mila that way. What we do, it's already discussed by the early Achronim, and some already perhaps even found in the Rishonim, that they had such a minig in Bavel. Hani Bavloi, the Moel and Uparim Bebas Achas. What we do is, the Moel will insert a probe underneath the Ar Ha'arla and separate the Ar Ha'priya. It's a membrane underneath the Ar Ha'arla. And he'll separate that from the top of the gid. That causes a little bit of bleeding. Then he takes both, he pulls them out, puts a shield down, keeps the gid behind the shield, and he cuts over the shield to make sure that he doesn't cut anything. It's called a mugging to make sure he doesn't cut anything. That's not the Ar Ha'arla. And he uses medical instrument that you pull something. He uses an instrument to pull, to clamp them both and pulls them behind the mug in and then puts the mug in down. Fine. So why is the baby crying? Because he inserted a probe which is separating the Ar Ha'priya from the top of the gid. That's why the baby's crying, which causes a minimal amount of bleeding. And then he pulls both ahead. Some of them, the baby doesn't cry. Why doesn't the baby cry? Because they did that before they ever walked into shul. Rabbi Katzenstein, who just lost his father. They do that before you ever walk into shul. Before you ever bring the baby in, they do that. So then they look like, oh, they go so fast. They do that. They do go fast because they did part of this in the other room. Okay, fine. It happens to be a wonderful model. I use my own son. But that's why sometimes it's less crying. Fine. So, but see, the Shemayim don't like doing this. It's a na'ezach. The way we used to do Mila is they remove the Ar Ha'arla and peel back the Ar Ha'priya. So there were Moelim who had a thumbnail shaped like a sharp edge that they were able to probe underneath to pull back the Ar Ha'priya. Wonderful. Okay. Fine. Let's say a guy, though, has his fingernail shaped so sharp that he could even shech birds that way. Can you do Mila with such a thing? Oh, yeah. Can you do Shechita, with such a knife? So no, that's what the Mishnah says. Ein shochtem b'mechubar. You can't do shechita with a mechubar. And Adam and Avadim are hukshu lekarkos. How do you know? We already saw the Gemara Masechtas Megillah over here, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Avadim, and so all B'nai Adam, all human beings, are hukshu lekarkos. V'znachot hem osam v'b'neichem achareichem l'resh esachuza, just like you pass on an ancestral property to your children, pass on Avadim, B'nai Adam, Avadim, are hukshu lekarkos. You can't shecht with a knife that's mechubar lekarka. You can't shecht with a knife that's mechubar to your hand. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins also that you're not allowed to shecht with the nail of an animal either. I have a leg of an animal with a nail attached to it. You're not allowed to shecht with that either. So that's the Shulchan Aruch extends it to an animal. So Rebbe Akiva Eiger is not happy. Look over here. It says Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Tamuali. How can you do this? Adam is kishla karka. We have exeris because of, you know, that avadim are, there's a hekesh between properties and avadim, and we can extend that to all b'nei Adam, all human beings. What does that have to do with behema? Behema is not iskish lekarka. So why can't I shech with the leg of an animal that has a nail that's sharp at the edge? Behema is not iskish lekarka. T'mili, l'mad dehela shach le'ikar, the other iskish lekarka, v'snachotem, af de'ever k'nai niksiv, mikol mokum yofim m'nei adam da'amah, even though it's really talking about ever k'nai, we extend there to all people. But in Cain, me'ein psikolam de'shecha b'tziporna, m'kubur behema de'posol. What's it to do with an animal? Behema's not hukish lakaka. No one's going to say behema. There's no ona, there's no shvua, that it's real estate. We never had such a halacha that behema is ever considered real estate. Avadim, yes. Behema, no. So why can't I shecht with a leg of an animal that has a nail that's so sharp? So Meister Soloveitchik said, must be, according to the Shulchan Aruch, mechubar here does not mean what it means elsewhere. Shechit doesn't, a fifth or whatever, but I don't know what number we're up to, but a different definition of karka versus metalta. Doesn't depend on real estate, which was no and shvua. Doesn't depend on chasim sheish l'machrayus, which was dependable assets with regards to collecting loans and mekinyan agav. Has nothing to do with hilchos shabbos, which is mechubar l'karka versus ein mechubar l'karka. Has nothing to do with hilchos trumas amayis, which is draws nutrients from the ground and not nutrients from the ground. And has nothing to do with Hilchas Avodah Zarah, which is Yesh Bot Tfisas Yad Adam or Ein Bot Tfisas Yad Adam. Something that you can't hold in your hand, that you once held in your hand, or something you can't. It's a sixth definition. What's the sixth definition? That which is attached to anything else. That's not a handle. A handle is part of the knife. Anything attached to anything else. So if you have a knife attached to a stender, you can't pick up the whole stender and shecht an animal that way. Because that's not a handle of the knife. So look over here, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explains, and the surgeon, where are we? Aval b'tzipur, and look over here at the fifth line, last line on the first page of the Marmar Karmitz, Aval b'tzipur, and mechubar l'rego behema. Ve'ein ha'rego meshamesh l'tzipurin. The rego, the leg, does not, you know, aid the nail in terms of serving as a handle. La'afshar yois as ma'isa shchita, in order to enable you to a greater degree to do shchita, but ga'igam l'dino k'mechubar. It's attached to anything else. It's considered mechubar's sixth definition, v'shchita sepsua. Vanu tamayu de'ein gether inyin zeh, the mechubar wrote to loma mechubar l'karka. Mechubar has nothing to do with real estate versus metaltalin. Asher dino kekarka, asher gedra mechubar l'shum davar acher. Here it means it's attached to anything else. Chutz miyad asakin, that's not the handle of the knife. So it has a sixth definition. Okay, so it's an important idea. Karka, metaltalin, mechubar l'karka, ena mechubar l'karka, nechutz m'she'en shem achrayis, ena machrayis, yesh v'tvisit, ena v'tvisit yad al mechubar. All of these things mean different things, even though they're somewhat comparable to one another. And the way we sometimes describe them, we had it's important to recognize that Moshe Soloveitchik taught us that these are two separate ideas. Okay, so we have to pick up tomorrow. Two other small issues over here in this sugya we'll deal with. Let's show them and then we'll move on. Okay, thank you.